I mean, I...
Does anybody know? Don't put it up there, please, Bill. It's just not yet. Thank you. Does anybody know what session we're on? 50. Wow, session 50. We'll have to look up in the Hebrew what 50 means, huh? The number 50. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for ministry. So I'm excited tonight about what I'm going to share. We're in John, the Gospel of John, right? Chapter 6. We're in chapter 6. And I just want to, I'm going to stay for a little bit on numbers. Numbers, when I mean numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we're gonna go away from numbers a little bit. We'll see how far we get. And we're going to talk about time a little bit. Can't stop time, can you? God can. Who is the king where he actually turned back time? Was it a couple hours? Does anybody remember who that was? In the book of Hezekiah? There's no book called Hezekiah. But remember King Hezekiah? Remember the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, get your affairs in order, you're going to die. And as Isaiah was leaving, he turned his head to the wall in his bed and he began to weep. And he said, Lord, man, I still want life. And then, I don't remember the conversation, but would you like time to go, it was either forward or backwards. He says, let's time go backwards. So God, I don't know about time, but the sun went, however many degrees back from the way it came for, it was a couple hours. Anybody remember that in the Word of God? So God can do anything with time, can he? So John chapter 6, verse 7 and 9, I'm going to dive right into this. It says, Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, for each to receive just a little. So remember, I'm going backwards just a little bit. So Jesus asked Philip, you know, about feeding these. How can we feed these? And then Philip said, hey, even if we had 200 denarii, so one denarii, I was looking it up. One denarii is like about a day's wages. So it was 200. So he's saying, hey, even if we had 200 days' wages or over a half year of wages, let's put it that way, well over a half year of wages, it would not be enough for them for each to receive just even a little bit. And one of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they so with so many people? Remember last week we talked about the barley loaves. Wasn't that awesome? About that barley loaf that came tumbling down, if you were here, into the camp. We were talking about Gideon, right? So we talked about barley loaves. We were not going to go back to talk about that. But you could get on the website, and if you're okay just to listen, last week was a pretty cool message. So we have a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So we know the Bible and the kingdom of God, numbers have meaning or purpose. Amen? So I was just thinking about going back to John chapter 2. And remember, Jesus did his first miracle. Where did Jesus do his first miracle? At a wedding, right? And I was just thinking there that even the details there about a number, in I think it's chapter 2 of John, verse 6, it says, now there were 6 stone water pots standing there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 2 or 3 measures each. And so even in that situation there, God being detailed by the Holy Spirit, speaking through John, said, hey, there were 6 pots. So there were 6 pots. So even just some of these other scriptures I'm pulling up that have numbers, and we could talk about what those 6 pots meant right now, or what they could have meant, or some of the things that the number 6 represents. And so when you think of numbers and you think of details, don't you? Numbers are about details. See, if you have a math equation, you got to have the decimal in the perfect spot, right? As an example, or the answer is not right. It changes the whole answer if the decimal's in the wrong spot. I like this Matthew's to talk a little bit more about details. And God, you know, God knows all the details. One thing when I see about, when I read all of these things about numbers, 5 fish, or 2 fish, 5 loaves of barley. Then they gathered up 12 loaves. You know, God knows all the details. Did you know that? Matthew 10:29, I want to read that. It says, and just an example, still talking about numbers, and Jesus is talking, but it's in the book of Matthew. He says, and two sparrows not sold for an Assyrian, which is just like 1/16 of a day wage. So not very much. Not very much, right? It's a half hour worth of work. If you work an 8-hour day, that'd be a half hour's worth of pay. And so he says, and so this is what God's saying here, Jesus is saying, and two sparrows not sold for an Assyrian, and yet not one of them, how many of them? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Did you know that every bird that dies, you think about this, this is what Jesus is saying, if one of them falls and dies, God sees it. God sees every detail in this earth. The power of our God to see every detail. Right now, somewhere, there's a bird that just died. God knows about it. Every detail, not even, we'll get to you and I, but the detail that God knows about everything about his creation. He knows every detail that's going on in this government right now. We can trust him. We can stand up. We can pray. We can declare the truth. But in the end, it's God who knows every dark secret. He knows when those things need to come to light. None of this, nothing surprises our Father. Every little detail. Not even one bird can hit the ground without our Father being aware of that. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Not even one. And then thinking of that, I want to go to Psalms 139:1-6. I just want to talk about the details, a little bit about the details about you and I now. So Psalms 139:1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Sometimes you think, I remember I used to think that and say, oh man, that ain't good. That's not good. He knows every detail about me. But you know, in the light of grace and his love for me, he knows every detail about me. Every struggle. He can search my heart. My heart belongs to him. He can know everything good and everything bad and have absolutely no shame. Absolutely no. Oh my goodness. He knows every detail. So see, that's what the blood of Jesus does. That's what the love of God does. Amen. Knowing his love, that's what his grace does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what's growing in faith, growing in the knowledge of God does. That you can say, he can search my heart and know everything about me. And I can say, even then, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I can stand up with my head held high and say, I am your child. Amen. And it goes on, you know my sitting down and my rising up. Wow, we were talking about numbers and how detailed numbers are. But now we've just moved over a little bit to about how detailed God knows yours and my life. So he's not only searched me, known me, he knows everything about me and still loves me. Amen? And it says, I know when you're sitting down and when you're rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. He knows every thought. Every thought and still loves us. Knows every thought. He knows every thought. Nothing escapes him. Amen? Verse 3 says, you comprehend, talking about God, you comprehend my path and my lying down. He knows every step I take. Every day, he knows every step. Did you know that he's watching you and I, watches over us every second and every day, every step. He can see a sparrow fall. He knows when it hits the ground. He knows every step I'm taking right now. He's watching over me. He loves me. It's every detail. God's so detailed, so powerful, that every one of his children, he knows every step we take. He knows our paths. He loves us so much that even when we get off the path, so to speak, the path of life or goodness, right, that God is there to help us, to always encourage us to get back on that path of grace and goodness. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And when we're lying down, Lord, you're there. When I'm walking during the day or sitting down, you are there. Amen. It says, and are acquainted with all my ways. Acquainted. So knowing that every minute, every day, everything, it's awesome to know that he's there. How do we know that? Because I feel him every second? No. It's because of what I just read. Because we trust the Word of God is true. If the Word of God says, hey, I'm watching over you for every minute, I'm there with you, then you know how I accept that? By faith. And I say, thank you, Lord, when I'm driving that you're with me, you're protecting me. Thank you, Lord, when my family, my children, whoever's driving, you're protecting them. We can pray those things, and God answers and hears. He says, hey, I am watching everything that's going on. Nothing can happen that God doesn't know about. Amen. Verse 4 says, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So yeah, he hears everything I say too, huh? Hears everything I say. You know, when I think of that, like he can hear everything I say, it's like, Lord, I want everything that I say to please you. To please you, to bring glory to you. But you know, that's a work of, you know, just stepping aside real quick on that, that's a work of the Holy Spirit anyway, right? So knowing that he's even there when he's hearing all the things I say that sometimes aren't quite glorifying him, or maybe aren't quite words of faith, maybe words of struggle. Anybody ever had struggles or frustration? Or say something you didn't or shouldn't say? God hears that, amen. But he still loves me. He still forgives me. And he's still teaching me. But it's nice to know that he hears every word I say. My time, and I spend my time worshiping him or praying in my car or in the bed or in the kitchen or in the garage or in the yard. I can be talking to him and he hears every word. That's amazing. I know that because it says it here. He hears everything. I know that by faith. So sometimes you got to understand, it says, well, I don't feel like he's watching me every second. Well, you can take it to the bank because of what the Word of God says, that he never slumbers or never sleeps as far as watching us. He never turns his back on us. Amen. He's always there. Amen. Verse 5, it says, you have hedged me in. You've hedged me behind and before. Wow. Man, hedge, man, he's right there. To me, that signifies protection. Man, you've hedged me in. I mean, we're tight. We're close, Lord Jesus. We're so hedged in that the Holy Spirit's in us. You can't get more hedged in than that. Amen. If you're a believer, his Holy Spirit lives in you. And so you are hedged in with him. He's on the backside, the front side, everywhere we are, the Holy Spirit's with us. You have hedged me in behind and before and laid your hand, listen to this, and laid your hand upon me, it says. Wow. Laid your hand upon me. I can see the Lord just, he's got his hand upon me everywhere I go. You know, his hand being upon me signifies to me his comfort, his encouragement, his understanding my weaknesses, his understanding what's going on in my life, saying, son, I'm here. Daughter, I'm here. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. I've got my hand upon you. Who here believes that God's got his hand upon you? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that your hand is upon me. How we love you. We thank you for your hand being upon us. Isn't that awesome that his hand is upon us? Thank you, Lord. This verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. He says, I can't understand this. This is this writer being David. He says, I can't understand this. I was thinking about what that said. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. And I went automatically to 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 11, where Paul says, I was caught up into the heavenlies. And I heard inexpressible words. He says, I can't explain them. I'm not permitted to even talk about them. I couldn't even put them into words. So the revelation that David is having here as he's speaking this, he says, I'm doing my best to put this on paper. I'm doing my best to my heart and way through words, through that, the Hebrew language, whatever, the language that he spoke. I'm trying to put it into words how wonderful God's watching over us is. It's so wonderful, so powerful. He says, I can't even put it into words. He says, what the Lord has shown me, what he's saying is this revelation that God has shown me, I'm putting it on paper, but it doesn't do it any justice. As Paul said, man, the things I saw, inexpressible. I can't put words to them. He was talking about heavenly things there. And David here is the same thing. It is too high. I can't attain it. His mercy, his love, his goodness towards us, how can we even put it into words? Did you know it's overwhelming? If we had our true revelation of his love, his goodness, his watching over us, his protection, even when it seems like he's not there or whatever, his hand is upon me. I don't understand why some things happen, but I choose to believe that his hand is still on me. Hallelujah. How about you? Do you believe his hand is upon you? You can, and sometimes when you don't think, this is how you do. Say, Lord, I choose, help me. I choose to believe that your hand is on me every minute, every day. Even in the middle of the battle, his hand is upon me. Amen. Grows our faith and our strength. We overcome the devil, amen, by our faith. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, putting our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And then I had read before about up at Matthew 29, it talked about the two sparrows. If one of them falls, God knows. And we're still talking about numbers. And we're going to go back to numbers a little bit, talking about numbers. And so the next scripture there in Matthew 10:30 says, "But even the hairs of your head are all counted." Did you know that? That's what it says. Did I read that wrong? You could read that and think, yeah, God's, you know, he's omnipotent, right? He knows everything. Omniscient. He knows everything. Of course he knows the numbers of my head. But in this context, he was talking about, hey, how much he cares for you and I. He knows every hair on your head. They're counted. That talks about the intimacy of how well he knows you and I. Amen. And yet still loves us. Yet still loves us. Well, as David had said in another psalm, saying, hey, he remembers that we are but dust. That we're clothed right now in mortality, flesh. One of these days, amen, we're going to be what? Clothed in immortality. Amen. We're going to be just like him. Amen. Perfect. Not just in spirit, but soul and body. That's going to be a good day. So it says, so God knows you that even every hair on your head is counted. So it says this, so do not fear. You are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. So he knows every intimate detail. And we don't make jokes about, yeah, it'd be easy to count the hairs on your head, okay? And it'd be harder to count the hairs on somebody else. What it's just indicating is how fond he is of us, how detailed he is about yours and my life. See, God has all the ability to have compassion, but yet have every little detail. You ever notice sometimes the people that are detail-oriented, right? They're not necessarily come off compassionate. Have you ever had a boss like that? It's like, I'm just about check off the list, details. Our God has everything. He's detail-oriented, amen? But yet he's full of compassion, love, kindness, faithfulness, amen? I want to go into, we're talking a little bit more about numbers or days now. This is continuing along Psalms 139, and you guys know this scripture, but let's read it together. It's just a reminder how fond your Father is of you. Psalms 139, 15 through 18 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. So we're in our mama's, in their mother's belly, amen, in our uterus. I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. You see that? And skillfully formed. Every way that you look, everything about you was skillfully made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance. And in your book were written all the days. How many days? All the days. We'll talk about it. That means that all my days, he even redeemed all those bad days. Anybody ever had some bad days? Man, you're thinking, man, if Lord, if you wrote all the days, all my days down, that book is not going to be that good of a book. But we're going to talk about God redeeming those things. And in your books written all the days that were ordained for me. Amen. We have days ordained for us. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And they were already known before this world, the foundation of the earth. Before this world was ever known, was made, he knew you and I. Before this world was ever made, he knew the hairs of our head. Before this world was ever made, before you were ever born, he saw his hand upon you. That's amazing, amen? And then it keeps going. It says, your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book are written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet you were, yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts, what? For me. Listen to that. God, it says, how vast is the sum of them? See, now we're going to try to talk numbers, but God, there's no numbers here. There's no specific 12 baskets of bread. There's no specific 5 barleys or 2 fish. Let's see what God says about us here. It says, how precious also are your thoughts for me, God. How vast is the sum of them. Man, that's vast. It says, were I to count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Can you just, you know, we read these things sometimes and we don't realize if 2 sparrows fall. Take that 5 barleys. Take that 2 fish. I've got all your days numbered, however many days there are. All these things where God talks numbers, that then he says, but when I think about you, they outnumber the sands of the seas. There's no number to put on how much God loves us. Wow. They would outnumber the sand. You know how many sand there is on the sea? Billions, trillions, gazillions. Is that a word, gazillion? The thoughts towards us, they can't be numbered. There is no number to describe you and I. That's the scripture. That's the scripture. That's not what I'm saying. There is no number to describe that. Amen? When I wake, I'm still with you. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sand. So just this night and this evening, just talking about, Lord, talking about numbers, talking about all the details. And then when it comes to you and I, there's no number to put on how much of a treasure we are to our Lord and Savior, given his very best from heaven. Amen. Man, saints, I don't care what we're going through right now. Lord, if you'd give us a revelation of how much you love us, give us a revelation of how much you care for us. Lord, give us that understanding. How could there, even as David said, he says, I can't put it into words. I can't do it. So here he's still trying, this Psalms 139, he's still trying to put it into words. What God had shown him by revelation, he's writing these down. He's like, this is from the Lord. So he's writing this and he's like, wow, and he says it outnumbers the sand. You think if you just grab a handful of sand, how many grains of sand are just in a handful? I don't know. Millions and millions? A billion? I don't know. So when it says that that you can't be numbered, man, that says, Lord, thank you. That gives me a reason to rejoice. It gives me a reason to say everything that I'm going through in life, Lord, you're going to get me through it. You're with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me, and you'll never take your hand off of me. See, Satan will try to convince us like, no, his hand's not there. Look at what you're going through. Nope, his hand's right here. It's just me having to agree with the Word of God saying, nope, my emotions, my heart, my mind, Amen. Agree with the word of God saying he will never take his hand off of me. Amen. That is good news. That's shouting material. Let's move on a little bit then. Ephesians, and talk a little bit about time now, because he has all our days numbered, right? Amen. Do you believe that? Thank God. For this reason, it says, this is Paul, Ephesians 5, 14. For this reason, it says, awake sleeper. How many people have awoke? You're not sleeping anymore. The world that doesn't know him is asleep, right? It says, awake sleeper and arise from the dead, which means come alive in Christ. Amen. Come alive in Christ. Awake sleeper and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And it says, so then, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Amen. Who makes us wise? Jesus. It says, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Making the most of your time. You know, when you think about making the most of your time, just means this, that he's ordained every day of my life. Redeeming the time. You know, me redeeming the time might be spending a day with my family, by the way. Enjoying the company of my family. So sometimes we have these ideas of what redeeming the time means. We think it's like to the plow ministry, and that's good. But how about redeeming the time, because the days are evil, is enjoying the fellowship of your brothers and sisters, enjoying your family, amen? Maybe there's been people before, they've never had an opportunity, maybe when you were younger, to enjoy your family. Amen. You can enjoy your family, your spouse. You can enjoy your spouse, right? Everybody with a spouse said amen. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. You know, do you believe we live in an evil age? So it means, hey, I'm not going down the same path as the unbeliever. I'm pursuing righteousness. I'm pursuing what pleases God. You know, numbers are a funny thing. You think of a dollar in the stock market. I think I've said this before, but numbers, math is a funny thing. If you have a dollar in the stock market and you lose 50% of its value, it's now what? 50 cents. But to get back to a dollar, how much do you have to gain? 100%. 100%. You have to double it. But if you lose half of it, you see, God is a restorer. Math is a funny thing. You can feel like in your life that you've lost things and that you'll never get back to whatever it is. But you know, God is a rewarder and a restorer. See, God is a restorer. Sometimes in our lives we can say, look at all this time I have lost for this purpose or that purpose. But to God, it is just a number. I'm back to the number. It is just a number. He can restore. He is a restorer and a rewarder. You know, you and I are limited by numbers, right? We only have so much time on this earth. You know, I was thinking today, if I knew exactly the day and the hour, I'm glad we don't maybe, right, that I was going to go be with Jesus, what would I do differently? You ever thought about that? When you're aware of time, then that thing of here saying redeeming the time, that makes sense. Redeeming the time. You know, there's only one individual that can redeem the time. Who's our Redeemer? Yesterday's gone. Can you get it back? Can you push rewind? No, you can only go forward. Like Paul said, forgetting those things which were behind me, I press forward. So I want to read a prophecy a little bit from that you're aware of in Joel chapter 2, starting with verse 23. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 29. It says, so shout for joy, you sons of Zion. Do we have any sons and daughters of Zion in here? Amen. And rejoice in the Lord your God. Hallelujah. That means rejoice. For he has given you the early rain for your vindication. And he has brought down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain. That's talking about the latter rain of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Amen. And these things that we're hearing about, like in Israel's land, but it's for you and I, it's talking about spiritual Israel. Well, how do you know, Chad? Because we're going to keep reading. It says, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has brought down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. And it says, the threshing floors will be full of grain. And the vats will overflow with the new wine and oil. Amen. New wine and oil, meaning we're in the new covenant. Amen. We're not in the old covenant. This is talking about the new covenant of new oil and new wine. And it says this, then I will compensate you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the gnawing locusts for my great army which I sent among you. See, he's talking about what the enemy has eaten and destroyed in our lives. He's talking about this new covenant that came, and it restored what the enemy has stolen. God, who's a thief? It's the enemy who's a thief, amen? But God said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. He says, I will compensate you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Verse 26, you will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. Wow. Did you know that he's dealt wondrously with you and I? Anybody here say that I've gotten exactly what I deserve? No. His wonderful grace and mercy. Saints, we haven't gotten even close to what we deserve. I'm talking about here on earth. I'm not even talking about eternity. How many of you, the grace of God has kept you from some awful things? Amen. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Amen. We're not to walk in any shame, saints. So you, verse 27, so you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame, the promise of the Spirit. Amen. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will what? See visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So we're in the context there of restoring the years of what the locusts have eaten. So it says, from all these numbers, we read, we get what? We get purpose. We get meanings. We understand you and I are loved beyond any numbers. And then also here it says, God is a restorer and a rewarder. Amen. See, I like this scripture from Proverbs 6:31. It says, when he is found, I'll get it out, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. And when I read that scripture, I think about the enemy. Did you know the enemy's always out to steal from you, steal joy? He wants to steal finances. Amen. He wants to destroy lives. But this is what I'm declaring. Is those scriptures where it says that he'll restore what the enemy has taken through the years. I'm saying, Lord, thank you for restoring sevenfold. Thank you for restoring, Father, in Jesus' name. For some of you saying, Lord, thank you for restoring my health in Jesus' name. Father, for some of us saying, Lord, thank you for restoring my family in Jesus' name. For some of us, it's, Lord, thank you for restoring my finances in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Amen. So when I read that scripture, it says that the enemy is going to have to restore what he has stolen through the years. I take that serious, and then it goes right into the new covenant, and he said he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. Amen. So I declare over my life, I don't know about you, and I declare over your life, thank you, Lord, for restoring what the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name. I declare that, Father, in Jesus' name. I declare it over my life, amen. I declare it over your life. I declare it over your life. I declare it over the people in your church's life in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for restoring things, restoring the joy of the Lord, amen. Restoring purpose in Jesus' name. And if the enemy has to restore, how do you get there? You say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I believe that this is a day and an age of restoration. New wines, new wineskins, the Holy Spirit within you and I, removing a poverty mentality. When I say poverty mentality, I'm not just talking about finances, but in every area of your life. See, if it depends upon yours and mine ability, I think we're in trouble. But when it's the Spirit of God that's doing the restoring, it's the Spirit of God that's leading and guiding. Part of that is part of what the meaning of redeeming the time for the days are evil. Part of that redemption is saying, Lord, thank you for restoring things stolen by the enemy. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. So it goes this, you start declaring, say, thank you for restoration. Thank you for having your hand upon me. Thank you that your thoughts are too wonderful towards me that I can't even comprehend it. Lord, thank you that I trust you. I worship you. I'm a living sacrifice. I give my life and my heart from you every day, Lord. I just say, Lord, I belong to you. And then trust him. And he's the one. He's the one that makes the enemy repay. See, I've always known, and you know this too, that when the enemy comes against you, and you don't give up or give in because his hand is upon you, man, this is what happens. When you overcome that battle, fresh new revelation is given to you of God, his goodness. God promotes you. He's the one that upgrades you. He upgrades your life. Your understanding of him. And when your understanding of him is upgraded, God can open any doors he wants. He begins to open doors. He begins to have you walking in peace day by day. Amen? Can we stand up together? Are you glad he's a redeemer? Yes. That he's a restorer? Once again, I just want to say all these numbers that we talk about in the Bible, but when it comes to you, it's beyond the sands on the seashore. So, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for strengthening us. Lord, thank you for showing us that it's the enemy that's the one that tries to steal from our lives. And we thank you for being a restorer, restoring with the cankerworm and the locusts that have come to eat. And so we praise you for that. We exalt you, Lord. We have an expectation because your hand is always upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love him tonight? Yes. Amen. Yes.